This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along. It's Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, number one tennis betting show and YouTube channel with Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. I am Nigel Seeley, and I am joined by our senior ATP Tour handicapper. It is Sean Calvert. Now, Sean, we always start off by saying, how are you? How are you doing? How are you feeling? We've got to ask you, is the 100-day cough gone yet? Any signs of any improvement?
Maybe about 1% better than last week, but it's... Yeah, people don't want to know about my health, surely.
They do. You will be amazed how many people ask me questions about it.
I would be amazed. Yeah, it's just some virus that's kind of just keeps evolving and giving me different symptoms. The sore throat come back yesterday. It's just lingering. It's just annoying. It's not massively impacting on my life. I just wish it would go, to be honest. I'm hoping when I go to Indian Wells in I know exactly what it is, in about 8 days' time, the nice bit of Californian air and sun and all that. I hope that's going to kind of dry it out a bit. For now, it's grim because people that aren't in England at the minute, it's freezing at the minute, isn't it? The temperatures take a right dip again. 8 o'clock this morning, I was out on the touchline, 8:30, watching my little boy play football. I'm not getting much heat. I'm just getting this general grim English winter weather. I don't think it's helping too much.
Before we go on to the tennis this week, we've got to find out how did Lagan do? Did he play in midfield? Did they play him as a striker? What happened?
I could do 45 minutes on this.
What happened?
He played as a striker like he normally did, but there's unsettlement in the ranks. There's a lot of people not happy with the coach. He played the centre back at left mid today for some reason. I don't know what's going on there.
Huh? Did you win?
No, they lost 2-0.
I thought Pochettino was under pressure after that performance by Chelsea today in the Carabao Cup final against Liverpool. Now Lagan's under seven?
He plays up a year. He plays in the under 10s, but he's only 9, so he plays up a year, which is not ideal. But let's just say there's some transfer machinations going on behind the scenes. I'm not happy about this at all. There could be a bit of a transfer situation coming on.
So not only the father, the agent as well, and there could be big news in the Lagan Calvert transfer situation, which is obviously one of the talking points.
It's key to everyone that watches this show.
Everyone needs to know what's going on. But I always thought that when you are a good football team or a good soccer team, you play people out of position to make sure that they can play anywhere on the pitch. One of my coaches used to do that all the time. Play us all in different positions, so we would always be competent in any position. If there was
maybe that's okay if you've trained and beforehand to do that, but they don't. Their training is shambolic. It's just the coach having a kick around and a bunch of older lads, and it's just like you lot of bibs, you lot of non-bibs, get on with it. There's no actual training.
This is not Arsenal Academy. This is what under 10 football is, Sean. You know what I mean?
I've seen other teams doing it. This is not how they do it. Let's just say that he might be on the move in the next month or so.
We'll wait and see. Watch his space to see what happens there. Another defeat. When he comes back, you know, Sean will have big freshed up. He'll be having absolutely exclusive talks with the manager to see what happens there.
Anyway, this week, there's been people talking to him about his training methods, by the way. It's not just me.
They do. I was a manager of my son's team for years. A lot of people spoke about my training methods. I said, listen, I'm in the pub. They're in the beer garden. There's nothing wrong with them training methods. Anyway, there is
a bit young for that, maybe.
It's three tournaments this week across the ATP Tour. There's 2 500 events and one 250. And again, as usual, when we come to the Sunday night, we wait for some of these lines to come out. Obviously, us being in the UK and BetRivers obviously in America, and the timings all around the world, we have to have a cutoff point. And unfortunately today, we've only got outright markets on two of the events this week, the one in Dubai, the 500 event in Dubai, and the 500 event in Acapulco, the Santiago month in the 250, the Chile Open. We haven't got any outright prices on that, but we will break down the draw. We will give you some idea where you think the market should be and just sort of some leans on where the market and you know, anyone who we think may be worth a little bit of value when the lines do come out. Head to the Bet Rivers website some stage later today on Sunday or on Monday. The odds will be available. So let's move on straight away to this week's tennis action. We're going to start in a tournament where in a few hours' time from now, I will be jetting off to my favourite place in the world, Dubai. I'm heading there in the morning. I'm going to be at the tennis on Wednesday and Thursday. Really looking forward to it. So you'll be able to follow my action on there on the Instagram account, Because We Win. Sean, I could probably tell you what the conditions are going to be like because I've been checking
you can do it.
The weather forecast religiously every day for the last 3 years.
So you want to do it? Well, it's, you want me to do it?
Well, it's going to be quite nice, around about sort of 23, 24 degrees. We're going to have a bit of wind around. There was some talk of a bit of rain, but if you did look at some kind of weather forecast, but the wind's going to come later on in the week. I think the wind's going to be Friday, and there might be a bit of rain and wind around today. Today was a very cloudy day, a lot of cloud around.
But very hot. Detailed.
But it was hot. It was about 26, 27 degrees. The hottest degrees will be about the low 80s, but around about 70s, which is ideal conditions.
It's any fine good? For you, isn't it? Yeah, it's perfect. It's not a little too detailed, you know, but, you know, I've just written down here simply 24 to 27 all week, some wind around.
Yeah.
That's what I've written. So
well, Friday's the windy day because, you know, Friday we're going on we're going into the desert on one of them quad bikes. Things.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, on the Friday, and it's going to be very windy Friday. Sandstorms expected on Friday.
Yeah, he needs to wear some eye protection there.
Yep.
So this is played on a Deco Turf 2 outdoor hard court with the Dunlop AO balls, which is the same ones they used in Doha last week. As you probably know yourself, the balls tend to fly a bit in the thin desert air, and the conditions do get... So the balls aren't that easy to control here, particularly when they're new. But at night, as you probably know, the conditions get colder and quite a bit slower. So the swirling wind can be a problem as well here. So it's tricky conditions to play, and it's not that easy, particularly if you've not played here before. Last 3 years, it's quite a quick court, I think. It's averaged 82% holes and 74% first serve points won. But you know that's in the last 3 years. So that's pretty quick. But the difficulty in controlling the ball leads to not as many tie breaks as you would expect. It features hardly any tie breaks. Only 30% of the matches here in the last 11 years have featured a breaker. And I think a lot of that is just because the balls are difficult to control. It makes it, you know, tougher, and the swirling wind probably doesn't help either. So unders has cashed here 56% of the time in the last four editions. So if you're an overs, unders backer, you lean towards the unders. It's never been a great tournament for underdog winners because it is a very good field, isn't it? You've got a lot of top-class players here. So only 27% of the underdogs have won here on average in the last 11 editions.
Yeah, there are some top-class players. Number one seed, Daniel Medvedev. Number two seed, Andre Rublev. Last year, Djokovic was in. He's not playing this year. Herbert Hurkacz, our favourite, is number three seed. Four is Karin Khachanov. And there's eight seeded players, obviously, in this 32-man draw. Number five is Hugo Humbert. Six is Mannarino. Number seven, we have Bublik, and number eight, Davidovich Fokina. To be fair, though, I must admit, if you look through the previous winners, Medvedev won it, Rublev won it, Djokovic won it, Federer's won it. It always been stacked a little bit more quality than what I thought this year. I mean, this year looks a little bit of a weaker event than it has been in the last couple of years, certainly. Certainly last year. Last year was really, really good.
Yeah, I think Djokovic isn't there, and
Nadal's been there before.
Alcaraz and whatever.
Yeah, so it's good. It's good field, but there is if you look at the outright market, which we're going to come on to in a second, it is dominated by the top three in the betting. The sort of depth isn't that great. As far as the draw is concerned, Medvedev is the number one seed in that top half. He's seeded to play Davidovich Fokina in the quarterfinal. Hurkacz will play Humbert. Bublik will play Khachanov. And Mannarino will play Rublev. So there's probably a little bit, I'd say it's a little bit favourable more if you're in the bottom half of the draw than the top half of the draw. BetRivers do have some odds available now. Head to the BetRivers website. These are the latest odds to win the 500 here in Dubai. Medvedev, the defending champion, is the favourite, plus 155. Andre Rublev, who also won this in 2022. So the last two years, previous winners are first and second favourites, and the number one and number two seed. Rublev is plus $4. Hercash, I think he'll go well here. I think the court will suit him. He's plus 450. Korda, just an enigma, isn't he? He's the full favourite at 10 to 1. Kachanov 12, Leheka 14, Umber 20, Bublik 22 to 1, Shapovalov 28 to 1. He opens up against Andy Murray. Manarino 28 to 1, Davidovich Fokina 30, Kovic 30, and Talon Griekspoor was one of our picks a couple of weeks ago. Another one I think might surprise a couple. He's 33 to 1. On the outright market. There are other runners and riders, but they are the leading contenders. What do you like in this draw? Give us a breakdown on where you think the value may be.
Yeah, I mean, this is normally won by one of the top players. It's not a tournament that's generally won by outsiders. The vast majority of winnings here have been single-figure prices. So I think, looking at the way the seedings are, I think you're right. I think Hercash is the obvious choice. In many ways, if you are looking for someone that has a realistic chance of beating both Medvedev and or Rublev, which he may have to do. But he's certainly got the capability of doing that, Hercash. You know, he's caused plenty of problems for both of those Russians in the past. He's got a 3-2 head-to-head lead over Rublev, 3-3 tied with Medvedev. Medvedev's never managed to beat him in straight sets. He's always managed to nick it when he has won it in a final set. So he's the obvious choice for me. And the way that this draw has worked out with Hercash in Q2, I'm just looking at it now. I'm not seeing any major dangers for him. Struff in his peak form would be a problem, but he's nowhere near that. And then we took him on successfully last week as well, didn't we, with O'Connell? Nowhere near Struff at the minute. You would expect Hercash to win that. Then maybe O'Connell, potentially. And then maybe Humbert. He's got a good record against Humbert as well. 3-1. Humbert beat him last time at home in France on indoor hard, but on outdoor hard, I would fancy Hercash to get the better of him. I'm going to talk about Daniel Medvedev in a bit about the matches, but I don't think he's a cert here, Medvedev at all. And Rublev as well. I don't feel like he's firing on all cylinders either. Disappointing loss to Mensik last week. Lost to Diminor in Rotterdam. It doesn't take much for Rublev's confidence to evaporate. I feel like he's going to have to produce a strong performance against a tricky opponent in Zhang to kind of get himself going. Then he might have another tricky one with Kazo. So I don't think Rublev's a cert to make the final. I think the solid choice here is Hercash.
It is. I mean, the other thing with Medvedev, as we know, we're going to talk about his match in a second, but this is his first appearance since losing out in the final of the Australian Open to Jannik Sinner. Now, we know Jannik Sinner came back and won his tournament on his comeback, but it's very hard to do that. And we saw last week on the women's game, Sabalenka on the women's tour, she won in Australia and she got beat in her first match as well. So that's quite hard to, you know, have a few months off and then come straight back in to win it. And I know Sinner did it, but that was in a much, much, much weaker field than what you've got here. And at plus 155, that seems a low, low price for me.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in detail in a minute. I've got some good stats on why Medvedev may not even win his first round match.
Yeah, so we're going to come on to that in a second. So on the outright market, is it Hercash is the pick, or you've got?
I think Hercash is. But the only one I'm thinking about, because I don't think many of the layers have put in the qualifiers into their outright markets yet. If they have, by the time this comes out, the one that would potentially interest me would be the qualifier Machak, who, again, we're going to talk about him again in a few minutes. I think that section of the draw, again, last week we took Popirin, didn't we, in a sort of bid to oppose Bublik in that quarter. And, you know, we were very unlucky, really, with Popirin. He was a breakup in the first set, the semi-final against Kachanov. Ended up giving the break straight back and losing a ridiculous tiebreak, 14-12. So I feel like that play was definitely the right play, and I think taking on Bublik again, looking at this Q3 that he's in, is certainly a play I can't see Bublik featuring in these conditions. Kachanov's just won a title, you know. He's had to, I know he got a bit of a bye, didn't he, when Rusevori retired, but you know, it's not that easy to go back to back in these conditions. Again, he's got Popirin in the first round who might upset him. So I'm thinking Machak might have some sort of a chance here. I think he's going to beat Bublik, we'll talk about later. Griekspoor, we don't know how he is after Rotterdam. He could be a big player in that section. So I think that quarter, that Q3, is the one where that does offer some potential big price possibilities.
Well, I had Creekspoor down as someone I thought could go.
He might, yeah.
Tournament. I actually thought he might have been your pick, actually. But you have been really unlucky with a couple of picks here. We've gone for some really sort of left field picks with Creekspoor.
Two semis last couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, that's as near as you can get. And really, you know, Popperin was looking good in that first.
He was odds on Popperin at one stage.
Yeah. So we're just hitting the crossbar at the moment on our outright picks. But as you should have seen last season, if you followed us last season, you get one along and they're like $1 buses, aren't they, Sean? They come along once and then all of a sudden, four or five come along at the same time.
Well, the $1 bus doesn't often come along at the same time. So you don't have to wait about 45 minutes at Rancho Mirage for the second one.
So just the one pick at the moment, Herkash, to win the tournament. He's plus 450 with them. Yeah. Would it be win only, Sean?
No, just win only.
So Herkash will be taken. And as you know, I mean, if anybody's followed this show for the last 18 months or so, you know that Herkash is our most successful player. Not only last year, but on this year as well. Every time we've gone with him, he's won. So this is a brilliant example. This is fantastic for me because I can wear my Herkash T-shirt in Dubai.
You're wearing that in Dubai, are you?
Of course I am, yeah. I'll be wearing that.
It's worth following the Instagram just for that, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'll be wearing that, and I'll be trying to get my idea. I want to get a selfie with him, with it on.
You know he's not going to notice that you're wearing the T-shirt. He's just gonna sort of put his arm around you, sort of vaguely, and he's not going to notice it. Or unless you mention it, unless you say, "Look, I can't,"
because he might not like it. I can't really sort of let him. I might have to put something else on, but I will. That is my goal. My goal next week, my task is to get a selfie with Herkash. I reckon
anyone can do it, you can.
I reckon somewhere in Dubai now, Herbert Herkash will be saying, "Listen, my goal is to get a selfie with Nigel Seeley." So it should be quite.
That seems less likely.
Well, I don't know. Hopefully. that's pretty much in Dubai on the outright market. And as Sean has touched on there, he's got some very interesting stats for us on the matches. And the matches start at 5 a.m. Eastern time. So a nice early start. That, I think Dubai is 9 hours ahead of America at Eastern time. I should know that because my daughter's currently in New York and I'm going to be in Dubai. I told her to 9 hours is the time difference.
It's about that, isn't it? Yeah.
So we have an early start, so make sure you get up early. And remember, if you do have a bet on the BetRivers website, you can bet live and watch live. All these matches will be streamed live on the BetRivers website. Okay, four matches you want to talk about here. The first match is Sebastian Korda against Pavel Kotov. Korda's minus 345, Kotov is plus 265. The spread here is 3.5, minus 127 for Korda. Giving up the 3.5, Kotov receives the 3.5 at evens, and the total is 22.5, minus 103 and minus 125. Their stats this year and their sort of record this year is pretty much identical, really. They're both 4-3 on hard court. The head-to-head is in favour of Kotov, who won their only previous meeting in a challenger back in 2019. Given their records this year, given the fact that Kotov does lead the head-to-head, although I know it's only one match, and Korda has lost his last two matches. I know they're against Dimitrov and Dimnoir, but not in any good form. Kotov have been inconsistent. I'm surprised to see such a heavy favourite at minus 345.
Yeah, it's not quite right, is it?
No.
On the form of the last 5 months or so, there's nothing to suggest that Korda should be minus $3 to win this match. 1.33, 1-3.
It's getting lower now. It's minus 345 now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Not sure about this at all. If you look at the stats since the US Open last year at main level, Kotov, 63% win rate, a 101 service points won and return points won total, and 105 service hold and break total. Korda, 60% win rate, a 102 service points won and return points won total, and a 102 hold break total. So there's nothing there in that they're very, very similar stats. You could argue maybe tiny edge to Kotov, but at worst they're very, very similar set of stats there. One guy's 1-3. That's based on what Korda can do at his best, which he very rarely does, as we know, to our cost. But on that data, you can't have Korda at 1-3. As you said, Kotov beat Korda in their only prior career meeting, which, while it's not that relevant to today, it's something for him to think, well, I'm not scared of this guy. I've already beaten him once. The major advantage that Kotov has here is the fact that he played two matches in very similar conditions in Doha last week, where Korda hasn't played. He's never played Doha. He's never played Dubai. So for me, that's quite a decent size advantage, because these conditions are tricky. You know, Kotov would be the one more attuned to the conditions. Porter's proved to be not a great favorite to follow in this sort of price range. In his main level career, an outdoor hard, Corda, when he's been priced up between 1.3 and 1.5, that's about minus 333 and minus 200, he's only got a very slight 6-5 win-loss record. So if you've backed him in every one of those matches, you'd be very much out of pocket. The main problem he's had in these stats that I've looked at since the US Open, he's just not breaking serve enough. He's relying a lot on tie breaks and tight matches, tight three setters to kind of get through when he is winning, which leads me onto the handicap. So I'm not sure what the current price is, but when I looked at it earlier, Kotov plus 3.5 games was around about minus 108 with Bet Rivers.
It's now evens, got a little bit bigger for us.
Right. I feel like that's the way to go on the basis that Korda is struggling to break serve, and Kotov should be the guy that's, you know, more attuned to the conditions in this part of the world than Korda, who's never played here.
Kotov is even money, plus 3.5, 27 different markets available on the Bet Rivers website on this match, 5 a.m. start. This match is one of the first matches. This is the first match on court, so you need to be over there either this evening or very, very early tomorrow to get that bet down. Just one thing I would say, Sean, talking about the Dubai conditions here. I mean, there was a women's event there last week, Sean. I know you don't really follow much of the women's, but the final was between Paolini and Kalinskaya, and that was a tournament with Sabalenka, Swiatek, Coco Gauff. Paolini was a 400-1 outsider to win the tournament.
And never heard of her. Yeah, well, honest.
That she was just the first time she'd never been anywhere near like that. She won the tournament. She was 400-1, and Kalinskaya was 250-1, and she was a qualifier. And they both got through to the final. It was windy. It's a bit blustery. I've been to the place before. It's very, you know, the sun comes across. It gets very, very hot in some parts and chilly in the other parts. The evening colds. It's not, I think there's a good chance of a few dogs doing quite well.
Well, in the men's event, two of the last 3 years, a qualifier has made the final. So, you know, that kind of leads me a little bit potentially towards Machak. But yeah, it's one where qualifiers have gone well, obviously on the women's side, but on the men's as well.
Yeah. Historically as well, players on the women's side there's always been shocks.
These conditions, they're not, they're just not easy, are they, as you said?
Exactly. This is the one I'm interested in. Medvedev, Daniil Medvedev, the number one seed, is up against Shevchenko. It's an all-Russian affair. Medvedev is a very...
Not anymore.
Very...
He's Kazakh now.
He changed, didn't he? Changed with his mate Bublik. Kazakh. Medvedev is a very, very heavy favourite here. He's -1,015 to win this match. 1,115 to 1,115. Shevchenko is $7. The spread here is a monster 5.5. Medvedev -103. Shevchenko -124. And the total here, I mean, honestly, I think that looks very, very cheap. 19.5 with over -125. Under is even money. I quite like what I've seen from Shevchenko. He's up to 45 in the world rankings. Reached the quarterfinals in Rotterdam. He did get beat in Doha by Richard Gasquet, but he played a lot of tennis. He got to the quarterfinals in Montpellier, got to the last 16 in Marseille. So he was a bit spent after getting into Doha, but he has had that sort of conditions under his belt. They have met once before. Medvedev did beat him in 2023 last year, but it was a close one. They played in Madrid on the clay, and Medvedev lost the first set 6-4, but come out finally in the final set 7-5. Medvedev, as I say, hasn't played at all since the Australian Open, and Shevchenko's played a lot of tennis. And on his day, he looks a quality player. I saw him the other day, he played Dimitrov, and he lost it on a tiebreak.
It was unlucky, yeah.
Brilliant, he was unlucky. And then he just lost a couple of points and his head went in the tiebreak. And then that was it, set over. And the same thing happened in the next set. But I quite like what I see from him. What do you think here? So you've got some interesting stats. I want to hear what they are.
Yeah, this is about Medvedev. When he's come back from the Australian Open, played his first match after the Australian Open. We look at what he's done in the last 6 years, his first match after the AO. He struggled. Last year, he dropped the opening set to Davidovich Fokina in Rotterdam, ended up winning the match, but he lost the first set. 2022, he beat Benoit Paire in Acapulco. 2021, he lost to Dusan Lajovic in Rotterdam. 2020, he lost to Pospisil in Rotterdam. 2019, he dropped a set to Larksonen in the Davis Cup. And then he dropped a set to Robin Haase in Sofia. And 2018, he got thrashed by Richard Gasquet 6-love, 6-3. So his record, he's won one of those six matches in straight sets. And he's lost a few of them, lost three of them, in fact. So it doesn't really surprise me because Medvedev is often a slow starter. He's a player that does like that match rhythm. He doesn't like being off the court, off the match court for too long. He dropped the opening set of his Australian Open campaign to Terence Atmanay in Melbourne. And he's actually only won 3 of his last 13 matches in straight sets as Medvedev. He got to the final of the Australian Open, but it was an almighty struggle, wasn't it? I mean, he was completely spent by the final. The amount of 5-set matches he played, it was really a triumph for him of his mental strength rather than his tennis. He rarely found his best form. And as you said, Shevchenko has shown a high level, a level capable enough of beating top-class players. He beat Holger Rune in Rotterdam, it was, wasn't it, I think. And then, as you said, very unfortunate to not quite get there in the final set tiebreak against Dimitrov. So the level is there. And he's obviously pressed Medvedev before to 7-5 in the third when they played in Madrid. So, again, he played last week as well. Shevchenko, it was a disappointing loss for him to Gasquet, but he's been there and he's had plenty of time to acclimatise in the match conditions. So based on what Medvedev has done or failed to do in his opening match after the Australian in the past, I think this is, if you're ever going to take Medvedev on at a short price, I think this is a realistic chance to do it. There's plenty of options. If you take Shevchenko to win the opening set, or perhaps a slightly safer bet, which is the one I've kind of asterisked here, which is Shevchenko plus 1.5 sets. Now, when I looked earlier, that was a plus 215, 3.15 chance of Betrivers. Shevchenko just got to win a set, which pretty much everybody does against Medvedev in his first match after the Australian Open.
Yeah, that brings into, I love the over 19.5 here at minus 125. I just think that,
yeah, that's
if
possible.
If he wins a set, we're gonna collect, unless it was six love. We're gonna collect if he wins a set. And also, we could be a gallant loser and still collect. I think 19.5 is really cheap here. So we're both looking to oppose Medvedev in some kind of capacity. We think Shevchenko has been pretty unfairly looked at in the market. $7 on the money line to win it. I wouldn't put anyone off having a bit of pizza money on that as well. Next
he's
match.
Lost before, hasn't he? So yeah. Possibly set up a Lajovic. Who would have thought Lajovic would beat him on indoor hard? It was only 3 years ago.
Mm. So interesting match, that one, Shevchenko against Medvedev. I think that one's on Tuesday, so you've got a little extra time. It's not going to be played on Monday, but on Tuesday, so you have a little bit of extra time to head across and get your wages down. Now, we saw a young 18-year-old Czech player reached the final in Doha, in Mensik, who's in action as well in this tournament here, doing brilliant stuff. And Czech tennis is in great state at the moment. And one of the players is Tomáš Machák, as you've mentioned there, is someone that you like on the outright market. The 23-year-old Czech player has come through qualification here in Dubai. Two good wins, Ajima and Batista Agut. He got beat by Hercash in the quarterfinals in Marseille, did well at the Australian Open, reached the third round, beat Tiafoe. And he's in action against Bublik. Now, we all know about Bublik. I'm sure there probably won't be an early-ish start here in Dubai. They'll probably start around about latest. But if it's an early start, then Bublik is an all-time favourite, wherever it is. But Machák is the favourite, minus 143, plus 110 for Bublik. The spread is 1.5, minus 110 for Machák, minus 125 for Bublik, and 22.5 is the total, minus 125 for over, minus 110 for under. I like your thinking of Machák here, but I was actually thinking we might get a better price than minus 143 on the money line.
Yeah, I was hoping this would be a pick'em, really, so that I could go fairly strongly on Machák, because it's the same as last week. I just don't like Bublik in these conditions. And I mean, outdoor hard generally, his stats are poor. Last 12 months at main level on this surface, Bublik 5-10 win loss. So it's a 33% win rate. He only wins one every three matches. And his service points, one every 10 points, one total is 96. His service hold and break total is 94. Now, those stats aren't befitting of a guy who's just outside the top 20 in the world. And in those 15 matches, Bublik's only won 37% of his second serve points. So not a great one to be backing in these conditions, Bublik. If we compare that with Machák, he's only played 6 matches, so it's a small sample size. He's won half of them, and his service points won every 10 points, one total is 104. His service hold and break total is 106, so he's way ahead of Bublik. I know it's a small sample size, only 6 matches, but if we look at all surfaces at main level in the last 12 months, it's still Machák that's ahead. Bublik's on 100 service points, 110 points, one total. He's also won 100 in his whole break total. Mahak's on 102 and 105. So, whichever way you look at it, on the stats, Mahak is some way ahead, certainly on the outdoor hard court stats. The other advantage, of course, is that he's come through qualies. You know, you talked about it. We've mentioned it. The qualifiers do have a bit of an advantage here because they do have a feel for the conditions. I just don't think Bublik's gonna fancy this again. I mean, he should have lost to Vukcevic last week. I mean, Popirin cleaned him out easy, didn't he? He should have been 6-4, 6-2. He had served for the match, ended up messing it up, and he ended up going 6-4, 6-4. So Popirin should have won that much easier than he did, but it was still a very comfortable win for Popirin. You would think Mahak is going to do something similar. So I'm quite tempted by Mahak minus 2.5 games here. I'm not sure what the current price is of BetRivers, but I think if the money line's gone a little bit too short, then I'd be tempted on the handicap with Mahak here.
Yeah, minus 1.5 you can get, and minus 110 plus money for minus 2.5 you want to be a bit more adventurous. So return of the Mahak for us.
Yeah.
There is.
Who was that? Mark Morrison.
Mark Morrison.
That's some memory for me, that, isn't it?
It was. He's got supermarkets now. He's done well
completely diversified.
The final match for tomorrow, or for the first round in Dubai on this episode of Game Bet Match, is Leheka against Fucsovics. Now, these are two of the most flakiest tennis players you could ever wish to meet. This could be absolutely anything. This is a trader's paradise. You know, anyone gets down to about minus 1,000.
Watch behind the sofa job, isn't it?
Oh, these two. I wouldn't even bet any of them. They're 40 love up 5-0 in the set. Leheka is minus 163. Fucsovics is plus 130. 1.5 again is the spread. Minus 120 for Leheka. Minus 110 for Fucsovics. And the total game's not surprising, given that how these two play and the fact that neither of them can serve anything out and serve. They get the nerves when they come down to the final set, the yips. The over is 23.5 at minus 105 with under minus 125. You're going to have to be a very, very brave man to have a bet on here, but you want to talk about this game and think you've got a bet, so you must be very brave.
I didn't say I had a bet. I've certainly got a view. That is for sure. I mean, this comes down to whether you can trust the Fucsovics brain after last week. And it's probably a bit soon for me because I'm still having nightmares about that performance against Bublik when he should have won all ends up, but managed to lose it as he tends to do. But he's a fair price here. What is he currently on with BetRivers on this one?
Plus 130.
Yeah, that's decent. If you look at the last 12 months, main level and outdoor hard, it's Leheka that's won the title, but his stats are slightly inferior. Not much in it, but Fucsovics has got the better of it. Leheka's last 12 months, main level, outdoor hard, 99 service points, 1 return points, 1 total, and a 99 whole service hold and break total. Fucsovics, 1 point better on each, 100 and 100. It's a slight advantage to Fucsovics there. Fucsovics has won 56% of his second serve points on this surface in the last 12 months, which is pretty solid. Leheka down at 50%. Fucsovics, again, I mentioned it last week, he does play well in Doha and Dubai. His record here is 5-4 win-loss. His service points, 1 and return points, 1 total is 102. And his service hold and break total is 104. So Leheka's only played here once. He lost to Zverev last year. Fucsovics, again, comes here having played Doha, as we know, to our cost, and the Dubai qualies. So he's very, very attuned to the conditions, where Leheka hasn't played since losing an unlucky one to Hercash in Rotterdam indoors. So if you can trust Fucsovics after last week, if you weren't involved last week and you come in here with a relatively sort of fresh slate, so to speak, regarding Martin Fucsovics, then I think you would have to take Fucsovics as underdog. I think it's a reasonable value price if you can trust him after last time.
Very surprised you trusting someone so quickly after they let you down, Sean.
That's very unlike you. I know. I can't. I know, but I can't put him in as an official pick because I'm still having night sweats about that match against Bublik. But if you weren't involved in that, and you, as I said, if you come in here and just taking a very sort of pragmatic view of it, then there's a lot to like about Fucsovics' chances in this one.
I'm not going to bet him. No, I bet him last week against Boot. I'm not going to do it. I mean,
that was horrible. That was painful.
That is the most nervy matchup of the day, Leheka Fucsovics. I mean, that is like, that's heart attack material watching that match. It could
be a struggle. If you're watching that, you might have to take frequent breaks for your own health. Yeah.
Hopefully, I'll be on a beach drinking pina coladas while that match is on, rather than watching Leheka.
Maybe you can have a beer and watch it, and you'll be a bit more chilled with it.
I'm on holiday to get over that Vukcevic match, not to impact myself even more. So that's enough. Dubai pretty much covered. So we've gone for two outright picks. Mahak, waiting to see the outright price for him. He's a qualifier, see where he's going to be put in the draw. We know he's going to be put in the draw in that third quarter. And then we've gone for Hercash on the outright market as well with Bet Rivers, our good friend. We can't desert him at around Hercash is plus 450. So they're the four matches. What's the official picks there in Dubai?
The official picks are Hercash to win it, as you just said.
Yep.
And the two bets, the match bets, will be Kotov plus 3.5 against Korda. And Shevchenko to win a set plus 1.5 sets, whatever you want to call it, against Medvedev.
Lots of different angles to get with Shevchenko there. I like that one a lot against Medvedev. Okay, let's move on to Acapulco. I was thinking about going there instead of Dubai, but the missus wouldn't let me go loco down in Acapulco, so I had to go to Dubai instead. No, she wouldn't. She could take her with you. No. Dubai is good enough. Dubai, okay. not in Acapulco. She loves Dubai. She likes that's her favorite place in the world. So, okay. We'll go there. So she loves it there. So let's go to Mexico to Acapulco, and we have a tournament here. We have some outright prices here, but before we have some outright prices, Sean, I haven't been looking at the conditions in Acapulco. I know anything about Dubai because I'm for selfish purposes. But what are we expecting here? It's going to be hot in it, surely.
Yeah, 31, 32 degrees all week. They tend to start the matches later in the day because it is very, very hot. Similar conditions to Los Cabos last week, really. It's the same court, really. It's a slow, high-bouncing, soul-flex, outdoor hard court. Only 33% of the matches feature a tiebreak. So both these hard court tournaments this week, neither of them feature many tiebreaks for different reasons, but ultimately neither of them do. It averages only 78% holds of serve, 71.8% first serve points won, so a fair bit slower than it's been in recent years in Dubai. This is much more different conditions. Again, not great for underdog winners, only 29% underdog winners here, but there's a fairly substantial trend to the unders if you're a total games backer. Last 4 years, a big 61% of the matches have gone under 22.5 games, and I suspect that's to do with the heat. Once someone's gone, a breakdown, they've kind of lost interest. Coming back from a set and a breakdown in 32 degrees and very high humidity, you know, it takes a special person. Jordan Thompson did a lot of it this last week, by the way, Los Cabos. It wasn't quite as hot there, but as I said, quite a strong trend to the unders. You do get a lot of retirements and withdrawals here. It's very, very tough conditions to play. And as I said, 30, 31, 32 degrees all week. So those are the conditions in Acapulco.
And they're the conditions. This is the draw. Again, it's a 32-man field, 8 seeds. And no one buys straight through into the first round. No buys through to the second round this week in Mexico. It's a 500 event. So there's a good players here. The top seed is Alexander Zverev. If he goes to the quarterfinals to the seedings, he plays Tommy Paul. Alex de Minaur is the third seed. He will play Tsitsipas in the quarterfinals. Casper Ruud will play Taylor Fritz. And in the bottom half, the bottom quarter, Tiafoe, he will be up against Holger Rune. If you look at the previous winners, it's quite a good list of winners. Alex de Minaur, who is the number three seed, he's won it, defending champion. Rafael Nadal won it in 2022 and 2020. Alexander Zverev won it in 2021. Prior to that, Nick Kyrgios is a previous winner here. Sam Querrey is a winner here. Dominic Thiem is a winner here. And Grigor Dimitrov is also a winner here. So some big names in the tennis world have won this tournament here. The outright market looks pretty interesting. I think, you know, to me, again, I think the top half looks a lot tougher than the bottom half. If you're going to have a bet, you probably want to try and find someone who can come through that bottom half. But just to find someone is quite difficult.
It's very difficult. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think that the bottom half is the place to look for a potential decent price finalist or winner. Rafael Nadal in 2020 is the only top seed to ever have won the title here, so it's not been a great one for number one seeds. As you said, there've been some big price winners. Kyrgios was 50-1. Querrey was 90-1. Qualifiers have often gone quite well, but none of them have actually made the final yet. I was looking at this bottom half. I'm still looking at this bottom half of the draw and trying to kind of break it down. Initially, I was tempted with Casper Ruud because of the court conditions, the slow, quite high bouncing court. I feel like that would suit him, but I'm not so sure that this real intense heat will suit either him or Holger Rune. I remember watching Holger Rune here last year. very much ahead of Alex de Minaur and then cramped as he often does. We've seen Holger Rune cramp so many times. It doesn't even have to be hot conditions. He cramps generally anyway. But here, you would look at the way that he's performed in the past in these sort of very, very hot and humid conditions and think, well, that could easily happen again. So Rune and Rude have kind of put a bit of a line through them because I'm not sure they'll physically be able to handle it. And then it's Indian Wells next week, which is obviously a massive tournament. Are they going to really work? Because you've got to go to the well to win this. De Minaur put a massive effort in to win this tournament last year and had nothing left for Indian Wells. Who's going to want to do that this year? I am tempted by Francis Tiafoe here because of the draw that he's got. You know, the problem is his form is awful. And I'm not so sure what's going on in his head at the minute. It doesn't seem quite right. If he's over whatever it is that's ailing him, be it physical, be it mental, I don't know. This is a good draw in Q4. As I've said, Rune, I feel, is a suspect stayer, if you want to use a horse racing term. Jordan Thompson must be absolutely dead on his feet after what he's just done to win the Los Cabos title. To ask him to go again in even hotter conditions, I feel is a real ask. Cam Norrie we'll talk about in a minute. He really struggled in the heat, didn't he, a couple of days ago? Yesterday, in fact, in Rio. Couldn't handle it at all. Having said, in previous days, how much he loves playing in the heat and humidity, he went on about it for ages and then wasn't able to handle it at all in the semi-final. So he's suspect as well. So if TFO finds his best form, there's an opportunity for him there in Q4. I think he's about 16 to 1, isn't he?
Tiafoe currently with Bet Rivers is 16 to 1. I've got him down to make the semi-finalists. I've got him playing Fritz in the semi-final. I think it's Auger Aliassime a chance. I keep saying it, but I think he's going to win a tournament at a big price.
I think that's a very tough draw for him on outdoor hard. Indoor hard, I like him the best. His data is certainly superior indoors than it is outdoors. I mean, that is a very tough draw. Isn't he? Got Tsitsipas and Safelin. He's got to play a qualifier and then he'd get the winner of Tsitsipas and Safelin. Then he's probably got to beat de Minaur. Then he'd probably have to beat Zverev or Paul.
No, all right, okay, off that one.
I'm not saying it's not going to happen. No, I just feel like the bottom half is way
the
easier.
The bottom half is TFO is on my list there with Fritz.
Yeah, if TFO is on it and he hasn't been for a while, at some point he's going to come back on it. Perhaps you feel like the conditions maybe not ideal for TFO, but if I was having a bet here, I'd probably take a punt on TFO and hope that he's kind of got back to his better level. Because if he has, he's got an opportunity there.
16 to 1 currently with Bet Rivers, and obviously the big value is in each way in that bottom half of the draw. So obviously Bet Rivers is one of the only sports books across America to offer each way betting, which means you get half of the odds for the player to make the final. So big foe 8 to 1 to make the final. In that draw looks, you know, I can't see him. I think he'll get to the semi-finals and he's got a match up there and you're going to a great position there, 8 to 1 to make the final. So that is a very important factor in those lopsided draws to make sure you bet the player each way in the bottom half of the draw. There's only one match you want to speak about, Sean, and it's the one you just touched on there. Cam Norrie, absolutely exhausted, wasn't he? Struggling with the heat, as you said, in Rio. Now to Acapulco, where it's very, very hot, even hotter. And he's up against Kopfer. Norrie here is -148. Kopfer is +118. The spread is 1.5, -114 for Norrie, -112 for Kopfer. And the total's very high, 23.5. And given the fact that all his exertions last week, you know, I wouldn't want to be playing over 23.5 in this match, in this heat, given the way he played. If you look at the head-to-head, 2-2, the head-to-head, couple of challengers, earlies and futures in 2016, 2017. But on the main tour, it's one win apiece. And Kopfer won here at Acapulco back in 2021, 7-5, 6-4 against Norrie.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't play the overs here anyway, given that there's a big trend to the unders and an awful lot of these matches finish in straight sets because of the heat factor. You know, it is very, very difficult conditions. I think this line's moved since I wrote this, actually, because I seem to remember Norrie being like -$2 or maybe even slightly shorter when I initially looked at this. I'm not surprised the line's moved because this looks like an opportunity for Kopfer. He's got a good record here in Mexico generally. He made the semifinals a few years ago, beat Norrie, as you said, along the way. That's actually his only appearance here. It was in 2021. He made the semis, beat Norrie. He also made the semis in Los Cabos last summer and he won a challenger in Mexico City last year as well. So this is a guy that does enjoy coming to Mexico and playing in these very hot conditions, which it's slightly surprising given that he's German. You wouldn't have thought that, you know, the high heat and humidity, you wouldn't have thought he was naturally be sort of drawn to that, but he's got a very good record here. When he's on form, he does have the greater weight of shot. Popfer. Norrie tends to win his matches on physicality, extending the points, making the player play one more point. And we saw in Rio what happens when he can't do that. He resorted to serve and volley in that semi-final against Navone, because he had absolutely nothing left. He had the doctor out. He clearly was unwell with the heat and stuff. So is he capable, Cam Norrie, of playing the style of tennis that he has to play, or he feels he has to play, to win matches in his current condition? And he's switching surfaces as well, of course. Let's not forget that. He's just come from clay in Rio. Now he's on a sort of high bouncing outdoor hard court. So there's not a lot to like about Norrie as favourite here. I think if you're having a bet in this, either take Copper to win the opening set, because he's the one that's more attuned to the conditions. You know, he played in Mexico last week. He hasn't been playing on clay. He's been playing on hard. Maybe Copper to win the first set, or just take him to win the match. I think those are the options in that one.
Yep. Kopfer, the value play, +118. Check the BetRivers website out. There's 28 different markets available on that match in Acapulco, and it starts at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So plenty of time to head across. You don't have to make the mad rush like you do for Dubai. You'll have plenty of time to place your wagers. Final tournament of the week is in Santiago. It's a 250 event. It's the lowest rated tournament of the week, and it's obviously dominated by a lot of Chilean players at the Chilean Open. It was won last year by Nicolas Jarry. It was won in 2021 by Christian Garin as well. Saiborth Wild won it in 2020, one of our picks last week, and someone that Sean I know likes at decent prices in these kind of tournaments. There's no outright prices as of yet, but BetRivers will have them. I'm sure when this show goes live, you'll be able to head across to the website and see the outright prices. But just let's let you know, it's a 32-man tournament. The top four seeds get buys through to round two. And the top four seeds are Nicolas Jarry, number one seed, who's scheduled to play another Chilean, Tabilo, into the semifinals. And Arthur Fields up against Sebastian Baez is the bottom half of the draw. Another senior players are Hanfermann, Diaz, Costa, Munar, and some dangerous floaters. Zabata Morales is in there. You've got Seth Van Wild is in there as well. So there are a few dangerous players around. Christian Garin, obviously a former winner here as well. Kachin is obviously in there. Nicolas Jarry, I'm certain, will be the tournament favourite. And looking at his draw, I think he's going to take some stopping to get to the final. But have you looked at this draw, Sean? Is there anything what do you like here?
Well, we need to talk about the conditions first of all, because this is played at almost 1,000 metres of altitude. So it's going to be quicker conditions than we saw in Rio. Oh, we're still seeing in Rio. Rio's not finished yet. Averages 77% holds of serve, so only 1% less than Acapulco. 35% tiebreak matches, pretty decent underdog winners, 37%. So it's a tournament I do like to get involved in, but the lines are so slow coming up on this that we've not really been able to look at it. As far as the trends are concerned, three of the four champions here have been priced between 5-1 and 8-1. The one exception was Saiboth Wilder, you mentioned, who won it at 50-1. Qualifiers go well here. They've made either the quarters or the semis in three of the four editions so far. So looking at this draw, I think the bottom half, it presents an opportunity, but you're going to have to take a chance. I think it's number two seed Baez. There's obvious question marks over him. He still hasn't finished playing in Rio. He's got the final to play there. What a big tournament. What a great title that would be for him to win. You feel like there's potentially a letdown coming from that effort in Rio. He's now got to come to Santiago. It's a place he's gone well before, but what's he got left? I would question what he's got left in those legs of his. Arthur Fils is the other high seed, and he's done nothing so far this golden swing, and not massively surprising because it's all very, very new to him. You know, playing in South America, it's not easy to get used to, even for seasoned pro. Sebastian Offner was moaning about it. He had a nightmare in South America with the conditions that he said he didn't like. So for Fils, I feel like, you know, he got easily beaten by Fonseca last week, didn't he? I think Fils is opposable again. So Munar went well here last year. I mean, I think he made the semis here last year, actually, Munar. He's a possibility. I think Delien is a possibility because he often goes well at altitude. He's one for the short list. The other two for the shortlist, I think Kashin is in dreadful form, but he does have a very solid record at altitude. He's in awful form, so it does kind of put you off. But if he beats what's likely to be a fatigued Diaz Acosta, that section, Fiese's section, that Q3, I think is quite open. Saboth Wild is another one who's got a live chance. So I've not seen the lines yet, so it's difficult. But Saboth Wild would be on the shortlist. Kashin might be on the shortlist if he's a really big price. And Delien is another possibility as well. So I think the bottom half is where you want to be looking here. I think there's a possibility the seeds look opposable.
Yep. The bottom half of the draw, head across to the Bet Rivers website. All those future markets will be available, hopefully later tonight, but certainly tomorrow. You've got plenty of time because this match, again, this tournament will probably start, remember, at 7 o'clock as well. So lots of times head across, lots of reasons to oppose some of their players, lots of good reasons in that bottom half of the draw. Sebastian Baez is a vulnerable second seed, and there's a lot of opponents around there who we should be looking at to get involved with. Remember, there are a few ways to follow all the content here. You can download the podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, and your preferred podcast provider. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, Betting Weekly Studios. Lots of new subscribers there. Again, keep thanking you very much for please. So keep subscribing, keep commenting. It helps all the different algorithms that we have there to give our content, to push it out to as many people as we possibly can. So thank you very much for that. And also follow us at Because We Win on our socials, on Instagram and on Twitter. And as I say, on Instagram next week, I'll be let loose on the Instagram account with my Hercash t-shirts over in Dubai. Hopefully I can
get following just for that, isn't it?
Hopefully I can get a selfie with the great man himself, and hopefully with the winner's trophy as well. That'd be fantastic for us. Sean, I hope you get over your cold next weekend. I will be speaking to you on Tuesday and Wednesday from Dubai.
Yeah.
And then I think when I'm back, you'll be gone, and I'll be speaking to you over in LA and California, won't we?
Yeah, we'll have to think about that Indian Wells draw because it looks tricky the way they've timed it. That doesn't look great, but I will be in whenever we do it. I'll be in LA and then obviously onto Indian Wells, and then an interesting journey back from Indian Wells to LA. That should be fun.
Whichever way we do it, we'll have you covered. Either Sean will be doing it from our Twitter account, or he'll do it himself, or I'll be involved as well. But there'll be plenty of coverage for you here, plenty of tennis coverage, plenty of soccer coverage as well. There's a huge week of soccer action back, Premier League as well, and all the Champions League stuff is coming again in a couple of weeks' time. It's all happening here in the world of tennis and soccer, and the best place to get it covered is here on the Betting Weekly Studio. Sean, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Good luck with your picks for the week, and we'll catch you again on Tuesday. I'll be on the Sun Lounger having a couple of margaritas, and Sean
I'll be here in the cold.
He'll be shooting in the cold, trying to get over his 100-day cough. Take care.